Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. I'm chatting with Eric Wetterling, founder and editor of The Hedgeless Horseman. Now, Eric, we're going to talk about your strategy when it comes to grassroots discovery or exploration plays. Now, we hear all these people talking about you have to look for 10 baggers, and 10 baggers are what really make you your money in this sector. And you know what? If you get a 10 bagger, yeah, you make huge money. But the fact of the matter is, it is pretty much impossible to know for any certainty what a 10 bagger is going to look like, especially because you need to be in so early on these type of discoveries. And usually early on, there's a lot of people saying, well, there's a reason why this company is trading so low and this project isn't in, say, a better company or a bigger company. Let's start off early on. When you are introduced to an early stage exploration company, say that doesn't even have any holes or some old historic holes drilled on a property, how do you initially play a stock like this in terms of your trading strategy?
Well, I mean, first of all, I want to see it to be a good target. And by definition, that often times means that there will be good people involved, because you know, serially successful people, etc., they're not out there to be mining for salaries, etc. So I think that's one good box to check, that it's actually a credible target, etc. And it of course helps if it's in a good jurisdiction, because like in Canada, for example, you know that Canadian stories get a higher premium than stories in third world countries, etc. And then one of my favorite strategies is simply to buy, let's say, 3 months before I think they will announce drill start or whatever. I mean, it might be 2 months. But the thing is that you want to feel that people see it as a boring story pretty much. And I've seen this in like recently in White Rock Minerals, for example, which I think is really, really cheap. I mean, they announced that they will be having 3 drill rigs up in Alaska this summer, and someone wrote, yeah, but there's still a few months left, so no point in buying the stock now. I mean, who do you think I'm going to be selling that stock to later? The same guy who said there's no point in getting in now, because he is basically saying, I'll come back and buy this stock later. And that's the sweet spot, in my opinion, because you know that people can't help themselves, because they've been brainwashed to look for 10 baggers all the time, and that's almost always tied to some, maiden drill campaign. So, I mean, you know that the hype is going to come into a good store with a good project, with a good target, as we get closer to taking assay risks. So I like to buy it when I'm not taking assay risks for at least, let's say, 2-3 months. You buy that, and then you sell to the guy who sold it to you in the first place, because then he's coming in again 2-3 months later, because he wants to, he wants to chase the dream of a 10-bagger. And I mean, I think also that many people overestimate the chance of success. I get the feeling that many people think that a maiden drill campaign is like 50-50, but it's far away from that. And even though there might be a deposit and a system there, it's very hard to hit it, on the first try anyway. So I like to ride that period up without taking assay risks. I'm just selling to the, to the more impatient people, the greedier people. And then I can, evaluate where I stand. If it's gone up a lot, I'll probably sell a lot. If it hasn't gone up that much or even gone down, then the risk-reward is better to hold into assay risk, actually. So it all depends. And afterwards, let's say there's a 5% chance of them getting a barn burner hole. Then you can get in afterwards, and that, like we saw in Great Bear Resources, even if you didn't take any maiden drill campaign assay risk, if you had really no idea about Great Bear and you just saw the first discovery hole, sure, the stock went up like 80% or something, maybe more than that. But if you bought that without taking the discovery risk, you bought it on the discovery day, you paid up 80 to 100%, you would still have a 10-bagger today.
That's a good point, and it's all about, following up on drill results, initial drill results. But just to summarize, initially it sounds like you try to understand when the drills are starting to turn, so you try to time that, you buy beforehand, but then as you're anticipating results to come out, you're selling. Are you selling all of your position, most of your position? How do you play that?
Yeah, to sum up, I'm like front running an emotional change and change in the narrative. And when it comes to selling, I mean, there are some stocks that I have bought in private placements, and some I have in physical certificates. Like I have most of New Legacy in physical certificates and Labrador Gold, etc. So I mean, I don't think it's an optimal strategy, but I will be keeping them because I really can't be asked to actually, send them over to Canada or whatever and sell them. But that's not something I would advise. And it all depends how far the stock has risen, basically. I mean, if it goes up so much that it's pricing in way more than, you could think that a first hole into a brand new discovery could even, could it beat that very, very high expectations? And the less I think it is, could be able to do that, it makes it much more easier to sell. But it's going to be hard, of course, because when you see a ramping price, you're going to see sentiment ramp up as well. Everybody's going to be talking about there's been a leak, this is a sure thing, etc. So it's actually very hard to get out when the risk reward is, the worst. So I guess it all depends. But honestly, I think that one should have, take a meaningful amount off the table, because that's the most rational thing to do. Because let's face it, the odds are never or usually never as good as people think they are. And again, I think people believe there's like a 50-50 chance almost with every made and drill campaign, and I the statistics doesn't really back that up.
Oh, the statistics says that is way too high. Maybe it's 10, maybe it's 5% of a made and drill campaign that even gets investors excited, or that you can even market as a true discovery that analysts like. So that's a key consideration. But let's move it over then. Okay, so you've taken some gains before the drill results have come out, and that is, I think, a good strategy. We've seen some stocks double, even triple, before results come out. Take some of your money off the table, lower your risk. But then what if a discovery is made, or at least there's one hole that hits some sort of grade over some sort of width that does attract investors? So you are giving up whatever that bump might be. And sometimes that bump might be 100, 200% on the back of that hole. How do you play it then, Eric?
Well, then it's also very, I guess, situational. For example, let's say Labrador Gold is drilling right now. They're drilling close to where Newfound Gold is having all that success at their Queensway project. So they're looking for a, Fosterville type episodal gold system. And let's say, I mean, I don't think Labrador Gold is cheap right now. I mean, it's obviously in an uptrend, and, they have some good visuals, etc. But, I mean, if that stock goes up to 100 million, for example, I think that's, I would be selling a lot of my position. And if they hit a really, really good hole on par with Newfound Gold, and it doubles the next day to 200 million, relative to Newfound Gold, for example, where they are much, more advanced in their exploration, etc. So then the risk reward is like, okay, yes, it's cheaper than Newfound Gold, but Newfound Gold has a lot more bank success. So even if it opens 100% higher and goes up to 200 million, for example, I don't see that as a clear-cut buy. I don't remember what, for example, Great Bear opened up in terms of valuation. But you also have to keep in mind, in my opinion, stuff like that, I mean, a stock can start low and open up 100% higher and be very cheap. But a stock can also open up 100% higher from a very high level already, and then it's not so cheap. So it goes back to the fact that investing really is an art, and you don't need to be looking for perfection or anything like that. But you got to have some, sense of, okay, yes, I understand these signals that there's probably going to be a big system here. But then you try to look like, okay, in the next 6 months, for example, what do I expect to come out of the company in terms of drill results? And if you think that, okay, over 6 months, maybe you can get it up to 400 million, that's a double from 200 million. But even then, okay, to back up 400 million, that means that they need to have a lot of good success. And I honestly think there's probably other plays at that point in time that probably has a lower risk to achieve a double in 6 months. So it's, again, it's hard to give a clear answer. It's just be aware of the context. And it's really good, I think, if you have some other stories to compare it to, because then you know there will be an emotional anchor of sorts. Because obviously, if Labrador hits, people are going to be watching it Newfound Gold. So then you can compare those two market caps, basically, and try to figure out what's the best risk reward. Sure, it might have a lower market cap than Newfound Gold, but Newfound Gold is much more de-risked, etc. So it might actually be worth it to actually, let's for example, sell Labrador and buy even more Newfound Gold. I'm not saying I'm going to do that. I'm just saying that in such a scenario, you need to be aware of what the risk reward was prior to the actual asset risk and what it opened up at, because some can open up higher and be no-brainer buys almost, but some can also be no-brainer sells. It all depends on the level.
Yeah, well, you need to keep your emotions out of it too, right? That's one of the keys when it comes to these sort of discovery plays. But really sounds like you like getting in earlier, riding the wave, the enthusiasm as the drill program is started and underway. And then from there, even some of the numbers that you're saying to satisfy a $400 million market cap, even a $200 million market cap, there needs to be a lot of substance there, and that doesn't usually happen just after the first one, even two drill programs, unless it is trending towards that world-class property. But overall, when it comes to exploration plays, Eric, I know you like exploration plays, but we do need to keep on harping on just how risky they are. And one thing I get from you is that constantly be considering selling at least some of your position and taking some money off the table. You still can have a position in the company, but locking in some profits, I know you're, I guess, eliminating that 10-bagger potential, but at least you're locking in profits. Wrap us up with that comment.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's the thing. I said this probably a bunch of times, but I have yet to have an actual 10-bagger, but I have had good results because I'm not chasing 10-baggers. And I mean, I'm not against taking assay risk, but I'm much more pro taking assay risk after a discovery has been made. Like now, for example, I have a very big position in Eloro Resources, and I'm probably going to be taking a lot of assay risk there, because I think the probability of those coming drill holes is, you know, the chance of success is way higher than at a maiden drill campaign. And the same goes for stocks like SK Mining and Newfound Gold. I mean, there's a bunch of companies basically that have made a discovery hole, and the discovery holes, etc. And the signs are so good that I think, okay, on balance over the next 6 to 12 months, I think that the net effect will be that they have increased value. And those I can have a pretty good position in. But again, grassroots exploration, maiden drill campaign risk, that's one of the biggest downfalls to most people's portfolios, in my opinion.
All right, Eric. Always good chatting with you, buddy. We'll chat again next week, and hopefully this provides some insight on how Eric at least plays early on exploration plays. And I know everyone has their own strategy, but one of the best things you can do, honestly, I think, is take some money off the table when you're sitting in a profit position, especially before any assay results have been released. Eric, good chatting with you. I'll post a link to your website. We'll chat again next week. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, Corey.